Thank you very much, Alicia. That is very inspiring to hear in terms of the mobilization of women in Cuba and the commitment and the perseverance of women and men in Cuba. Now, I'd like you to, we'd like to have some participation from the audience, and if anyone has any questions, we'd like you to think about that and ask you to write them down. And be able to find a piece of paper there on the seats and ask you to bring the questions up, and we'll give them to Alicia to answer. So while you're thinking about that, I'm going to introduce Linda Chobotuck, and she is the secretary of the Canadian-Cuban Friendship Association, and here's Linda.
I'm going to speak to you with the this part of any meeting is not as important as the main speaker, but if it didn't happen, we wouldn't have main speakers, and that is to remind people that we invited Alicia to come out when she was she's touring Canada as part of a Canada-wide tour, well, Western Canada and Toronto, and we are a long way from Toronto, and airfare doesn't come cheap, and we promoted the meeting tonight, and there's hall rental and expenses, and of course the Federation of Cuban Women, it can't be expected to pay for her travel in Canada. We invited her, so there will be some white buckets coming around, so I would urge everybody to give what they can to help pay for the expenses of Alicia's visit, and if there's any money left over, it will go to Cuba for as part of the Canadian Network on Cuba's hurricane relief campaign, because this has been a very bad season for hurricanes, and although Cuban civil defense is excellent, that although there's not much in the way of loss of life, but there has been extensive damage, and they can certainly use all the help they can get to help rebuild. So when the collection bucket comes around, I would appreciate anything that people can spare. Thank you.
Great, thanks, Linda. And just a few words, I guess, about the Canadian-Cuban Friendship Association. If many of you don't know, it is one of the longest-standing solidarity groups that has been formed in Canada to support Cuba and to support the people of Cuba in their struggles. And many been involved in many projects, and a very good group of committed folks raising issues of Cuba, educating the Canadian public, and also organizing groups to go down and visit Cuba, which is one aspect as well of supporting the Cuban people. There's also a program that is run, and it's an opportunity to visit Cuba as a worker, and also as a chance to meet Cubans and to really experience life in Cuba and to see what it is. We don't hear a lot in the media about Cuba. A lot of it, you know, from speakers, from Alicia, and from other stories of brothers and sisters from Cuba. And it's an opportunity to go and visit Cuba, meet with different organizations, meet with unions, and experience life in Cuba. So that is some of the excellent work that is being carried out by the Canadian Friendship, the Canadian-Cuban Friendship Association. So in appreciation as well to all their hard work. So if anyone has, thank you very much for your generosity in helping to fundraise for this event. It's been with your generosity we're able to carry out our support for the people of Cuba. And if anyone's got questions that you'd like, you can come up, yeah, bring them up. And we'll pass them on. Great, terrific. And then we'll ask. Great. So you can hand them to me. Thank you very much. Thanks. Thank you. Terrific. Thanks. Great. All right. So here you go, Alicia. let you read a few of them and collect your thoughts. Yeah. And answer a few. It's great. Thanks. Thank you.
I must read it.
Is this one working?
Are you okay to come up to the? I'll ask you to come up here. I'll go through it as well, so you can start that.
Oh, it is? Okay.
It just needed to be turned on.
Uh huh.
If you use that mic, I won't be recording this because the recording mic is up here.
Okay. Lisa, can I ask you to come here? Great, because we're having it videotaped for TV as well to produce. Great. Yep.
It's a really demanding audience. Maybe I would need a delegation here for answering so many questions. Oh, you are really very good students, very good demanding students. Good. You know, when students in a lecture, in a class, are asking many questions, there are two conclusions can be made. First, they are not sleeping. Yes, which is very good. And in the second place, it's because they studied. So they have many questions, which is good too. So I'm afraid not too many questions, but the time, because many, many things you have been asking. Okay. Can you speak a bit about what is going on for young girls, 14, 17 years, with all their exposure to CNN, etc.? Well, this is the first question. Usually I don't see CNN in Cuba myself, so there are people who watch CNN. But if this happened, so I don't doubt it might be. But it's very bad if this happened. And, you know, maybe it has any relation with prostitution, maybe, or at least with prostitutes or attitudes related with prostitution, maybe, or prostitutes involved in this type of activities. But, you know, this is very painful when this type of things happen. And on the other hand, let me tell you that everything that has been happening with prostitutes in Cuba is also for undermining the role of women in Cuba, because it has been overused, or they have been using for undermining the role of Cuban revolution, for undermining the role of Cuban women as well. They have been playing with that, because there is no country in the world without prostitutes. No any. Maybe there is one, but I don't know. And in many other countries, in many developed countries, you can find many, many prostitutes. You can find and you can choose the prostitutes in a telephone booth. You can find many other type of things in magazines, etc., etc. And nobody is worried about that. Nobody talks about that. Nobody is interested about that. In London, for example, in a very beautiful city, in a very developed country, this happens every day, every minute. And nobody is worried about that. Nobody is worried about the 80% of all prostitutes in London who are being brought from other countries, so they are not even from London. And they're very exploited. They are living in very difficult conditions. And nobody talks about that. And when these things happen, I don't say this not happened, it's true, maybe true, I don't know, but it deals with the attitudes related to prostitutes. And it has been quite painful, but at the same time, it's that they are playing with the ideas of undermining the role of Cuban revolution. That's all. Can I say about that? I can say more, but I think that's enough. What is the situation of violence against women in Cuba, including domestic violence, sexual assault, and how does the Federation of Cuban Women respond and work around these issues? Well, this issue of domestic violence and all of these aspects, in Cuba, according to the studies that have been carried out, they deal with, so mainly the violence that is seen in Cuba is quite psychological sometimes might be economic, and the physical violence is less seen, is seen, but not so frequently. That's the first aspect. The second aspect is that we can see that everything that happens at the society level is reproduced, is reflected also in the family, at the family level. And our country is not a violent country, so we do not sponsor violence. And that's why our families in general do not live in very violent environment. That's general. And the most hardest violence, or the most hardest, or the hardest violence we are facing is the blockade, which have been perpetrated against Cuba, exerted against Cuba, because it affects everyday life mainly. So, and it produces also very difficult situations, very difficult challenges for us. And let me tell you something else regarding violence. It deals with the fact that around 80% of all people that have been in a judicial process regarding to violence have been sentenced, which is very good. Even in the case of rapes, which is a crime which deals with rape is very difficult crime because it happens in isolation without witnesses. And even those cases, the rate of people, of men, of people that have been sent to jail or sentenced is quite high. In Cuba, there is a certain of feminization of justice. In Cuba, 61% of all lawyers are women, and 49% of judges. And in the Supreme Court, 47% are women as well. So I can understand you. That's very good for us. So there is a real feminization of justice. And everything that is written in law is fulfilled. It's not just a dead letter. It's not a dead paper. It is a real. It's real. And it has been helping a lot. And another question is, what are the specific effects on the blockade of women? Well, there have been many effects, negative impacts maybe, most of them. And these negative impacts have been on all people, but women have been affected more. Why? Because this blockade is intended to undermine people's patience. It's undermined. It's intended to desperate people. In its philosophy is to genocide. It's like a war. So it's very difficult for many people to deal with everyday life, and women still have a lot of, so the domestic burden is still on women's shoulders, as I told you before. And of course, we have on women, we have a direct negative impact in their mental health for some women. And everything is quite complicated in terms of housing, in transportation mainly, how to get the food. And many things are very affected, and of course women have been one of the more affected. And there have been also in this so-called special period some certain crises maybe with the values. When you live in these conditions, you have to put aside some of your personal and individual dreams, and nobody is ready to do this. So that's why for many people, their values, their real values comes up. And it has been also mainly one of the side effects for some people. That's why there are some people that have been, when I say people, it's not women, because some men also have been involved, for example, in prostitution as well.